This next story is a medical mystery involving blindness and one woman's insistence that what seemed like bizarre hallucinations were in fact real. Here's NPR's Lulu Miller.
To explain, let me introduce you to a Scottish woman named Melina Channing.
Colin, you need to be quiet. Sorry. The husband and daughter are upstairs having a little chat and we're picking it up.
She's just getting settled for the interview in her home in Wishaw, Scotland.
Right, we're okay now.
Which is exactly where she was 15 years ago when one bright blue day in February, she suddenly started feeling extremely feverish and short of breath.
The last thing I remember is lying here in my own bed and I vaguely remember being taken to the hospital. And then after that, I don't remember anything until I wake up 52 days later.
She had had an infection so bad that she had fallen into a coma, and while in the coma had a stroke that left her with short-term memory problems, terrible circulation problems, and most important for this story, blind. What is the world like when you wake up?
Well, when I woke up, it was completely black. Couldn't see a thing. Nothing.
The doctors informed her that she was blind, that due to the damage, there was no hope of her vision ever returning.
She's blind and that's it.
But then, a couple months later, she got a flash.
Caught the colour green. I was still obviously in the hospital and it was actually our wedding anniversary and somebody had brought me in a gift and they had it in a green gift bag.
And they sort of tossed it toward her.
And I said to Colin, well, I can see green.
I was over the moon.
That's Colin.
But then they went and told all the doctors. They said all the trauma and everything she's been through, she thinks she's seen green, but she's not.
She's not seen it. She can't see it.
If you could see her brain scans, this is a woman who is missing most of the brain regions involved in vision.
This is Dr. Jodie Cullum, a neurologist who would later review Melina's case. And she explained that though Melina's eyes are perfectly good, the stroke destroyed what you can think of as the main receiving area of visual input to the brain.
Primary visual cortex.
And without that, the doctors explained to Melina, you simply can't get vision.
Because although the information from the eyes is fully intact, it's not getting into the brain properly.
So that flash of green, the doctors told Melina, simply must have been a hallucination.
They said it's her imagination.
Melina said that moment was devastating because she was so sure what she had seen was
real.
But assured that she was blind, her life returned to darkness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although every now and then she would think she would catch a glimpse of something like
the rain coming down from the sky, the windscreen wipers on, the steam coming from my coffee cup.
And at some point it hit her that she was seeing one very particular kind of thing.
It seemed to be things that were moving.
Like she couldn't see huge trees, though she could see their leaves shaking. And she couldn't see her daughter sitting across from her at the table, but if she turned to walk away,
I would see her ponytail moving left to right, left to right, left to right. You know, and I just kept saying to everybody, well, something's happening to my eyes, but nobody believed me.
Which had an effect on the vision itself. Those flashes remained occasional.
Until, thankfully,
about 2 years after her stroke, a friend of hers referred her to an ophthalmologist who happened to have a hobby of reading about rare and poorly understood neurological conditions documented during World War I.
Gordon Dutton. In Glasgow.
Riddick's phenomenon, he told her.
He just knew exactly what I was talking about.
Riddick's phenomenon was first documented in 1917 after a soldier was shot in the head and afterward could only see objects in motion. And after running Melina through a couple of tests, Dr. Dutton was pretty sure that Melina, in fact, had this.
Mm-hmm.
And so he prescribed her a rocking chair.
Which I thought was quite strange.
The idea was, if this was about only being able to see things when they are in motion, well, creak, creak.
He told me to sit in that rocking chair and rock back and forth to help my eyes.
And did it help? Did you do it?
Yes, over the months, it was as if the rocking movement would bring something into focus.
He told her to try shaking her head if she dropped something on the floor, to pay extra close attention if she was riding in a moving car, and most important, to trust all of these weird flashes and glimmers she was seeing.
He just says, use the sight you've got, because the more you use it, the better it should improve.
And the other important thing Dr. Dutton told her was to go see his friend Dr. Jody Cullum in Canada.
I'm a professor at the Brain and Mind Institute at Western University in London, Canada.
Cullum's team of Canadian neurologists was intrigued enough by Melina's case that they brought her out to their lab.
We were very interested in her case. She sounded fascinating, but we didn't really know what to expect with her.
Their thought was that maybe the motion area of the brain was still intact.
This area that's known to be critical for motion called MT+.
Because it turns out that area is actually a sort of satellite area, separate from the rest of the visual cortex.
MT is on the side of the brain, basically behind the ears.
Okay. And their thought was maybe, just maybe, that MT+ area was still getting information even though the rest of the visual cortex was broken.
Yeah, that's the basic idea.
So they put her into a brain scanner with a plan to show her
checkerboards, black and white checkerboards that look like they're expanding and contracting or rotating.
Ooh, cool. Not just cool, says Cullum, but as a potential stimulus to trigger that motion area of the brain?
Potent.
So they put Melina in the scanner, they show her the trippy checkerboards, and nothing.
There wasn't anything happening.
They figured they'd found their answer. No brain response, no actual vision. Until someone in the lab happened to notice they'd left the lens cap on the video projector.
So we took the lens cap off the projector. And as we were sitting in the control room watching her, we could see some funny expressions on her face.
I actually started crying. It was happiness, really. Because I could see it.
And in the brain scans?
We saw this huge increase in the amount of blood oxygen going to her MT+.
Which suggests that somehow the information coming through her eyes had found a way to do something almost nobody believed it could do. Bypass the main way station.
She's missing the main connections, but she's got these little dirt side roads that are enabling the traffic to still get to her MT+.
In other words, Melina's strange vision of a world only in motion was
real, and I'm not lying and I'm not making it up.
Though Melina's condition is still poorly understood, in part because it's just so rare, Cullum's team has documented another case just like it.
Right. So we had another patient who was from France.
He was a gardener who couldn't see his garden.
And yet he was still able to ride a motorcycle.
That is insane.
Exactly. And there were lots of
As for Melina, well, it's been nearly 15 years since her stroke, and she says that first day in Dr. Dutton's office began a domino effect. Once her belief was sanctified by science, her sight just got better and better.
It's just amazing what I can see. I can avoid obstacles and fill the kettle. I'm seeing colours better.
But that compartmental nature of vision, the thing which may in fact have saved what vision she did have, is also proving to be a quiet curse.
Colin, can the two of you come down?
Hi.
Okay.
Hi there.
Hello.
See, like motion, there's a separate area in the brain for processing faces. And as much as Melina's vision improves,
I don't see your face. Stephanie,
She's
sitting in front of me and I know where her head is. And she's waving now. She's waving her hand.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But I can't see any features. I just see the shadow.
She gets frustrated.
Why can't I see my daughter's face or my husband's face? Who does she look like?
She can only remember me when I was wee, but my dad tells her what I'm like now.
5'7", long brown hair, smiling face, happy face.
It doesn't worry me, it doesn't bother me. She's still knows me inside and out. Maybe it'll change.
That's all I would like.
Lulu Miller, NPR News, Washington.